think so. Testing. Check. Sound all right? Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to be here with you this morning. Just really enjoyed the community of spirit in here as we've come together. The visiting beforehand, and I mentioned to the guys in the back there before, you know, church has begun long before the starting time of the service. So there's a fellowship happening that's wonderful, and the sharing of prayer and praise that you have experienced in your own families, in your own selves, and ones that you know. That's where we live, isn't it? Yeah, my name is Ron Heppner, born and raised in southern Manitoba in a small Mennonite community where Low German was my mother tongue, or still is. My Plautich. And I share that because I have an English Bible here. And that wasn't my mother tongue, but here it is. And not long ago, I was able to see and read a Bible written in Low German, translated, that one was, by Wycliffe Bible Translators. What a difference it makes. It's amazing. So my wife of 59 years is with me here today, and Ray and Eleanor. So that's a joy too. And also a friend that we met in Whitehorse when we lived there for 36 years. And Cora, it's awesome just to be able to share this time here. Today, again, we want to lift up the word. And I give you those comments just as background. You wonder where the accent will be from, and it'll sound flat maybe. And at any rate, just want to thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great privilege again of coming together to worship you and to candidly share one with another of the joys and challenges in our lives. And for your precious word, God, that gives us teaching in all things and comfort and reassurance. So we just lay this morning open before you to let your Holy Spirit just to know that you will just touch individual hearts, each one with the individual need. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to look at true truth, real truth, from the Word of God. And I'm just going to pull out a couple of verses from the prayer that Jesus prayed and is recorded in John chapter 17. And beginning there with verse 13, where Jesus prays, "But now I am come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Isn't that awesome? And Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction in righteousness." All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what we are holding is a very precious book. We know that God ministers in many ways to individuals The people he knows need comfort. The people he knows need correction. To people he knows are walking down a path that are destructive and will have a bad ending. And so he speaks and touches our hearts and our lives. So we're among a very select group of people in that I'm sure every one of us has a Bible. And if not here, you have one in your home. And I'm just interested to know, anyone who was born and raised in a home where there was no Bible, just show by raising of hands, okay. And that was in Canada? Yeah. And that was in Canada? Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, in the same way, if we would go and check in with people, we find many people in our own country, maybe in our own community, who haven't a Bible in their home or in their possession. So I'd like to speak, first of all, to people who have a Bible in their home. So even now, where you have had opportunity to read for your own selves what the Scriptures really say. We use the Scriptures to read, to learn, and to adjust our sights. We use the Scriptures also to check that what we're hearing is really what the Scriptures say. We can take a lot of things for granted because we have so much feeding into our own lives. We hear information from friends, and so sometimes because we trust our friends, we trust what they say. And it might not, it may be not deliberately, but somehow may not line up with the Scriptures. We will hear things at funeral services where thoughts are expressed that may not be reflected in the Scripture, but may have come from popular media, or it may have come sometimes from a pulpit. And so, you know, you and I can take the Scriptures and check. Like Paul wrote, these people were more righteous than those in that they searched the Word of God daily, or they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So it's an amazing opportunity that we have. And the other part is that many times as you and I live our journey, our walk with the Lord, the enemy will sometimes blindside us. Does he ever do that for you? Yeah. Most unexpectedly, isn't it? Sometimes it just comes and does it, or we find ourselves making a choice that just doesn't line up with what our faith journey is, but it's there. It comes up. And does it come up in worry sometimes? For you, yeah. Does it come up in doubt sometimes? Does it come sometimes in challenging God? You know, what are you doing? I've been praying for this, and I haven't seen any answers. Where are you? You know, and so experience after experience takes us into that place where we are vulnerable to the whispering or the shouting of the enemy. And so how can you and I respond then? Right? So in Matthew 4, verse 4, we have the account of Jesus being out in the desert, and he has somebody along with him. Didn't come along with him, but he is there with him. And that is Satan. He's coming to test him. And Jesus says repeatedly, you're supposed to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so, when you and I experience these sidetrackings of the enemy, that might be the beginning. And everyone has a place where they have a beginning. But say, you know, I know you're the enemy. What I'm hearing in my mind, in my heart, I know is not consistent with what Jesus says. It's not consistent with the scriptures. I know that what I'm hearing is from the enemy. And then we can check the scriptures again and see what the scripture says. And so that if we feel really down, for example, really down, possibly even into depression, we come to a place where we think we have reached rock bottom. But I'm encouraged by the scripture in Deuteronomy that says Jesus is our refuge. No, God is our refuge and strength and a present help in trouble. Underneath are the everlasting arms. So in other words, what that tells me is a beautiful picture of me feeling I'm at the bottom, but to my surprise, there's still room underneath me and bottom. Because there has to be room for God's arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms, you see? And so we don't reach the very, very bottom. But God is there to lift us up. So praise the Lord for having opportunity to have scriptures available and we can read. One brother said one time, he said, you know, well, somebody asked him, where should I read? And he said, you know, read until you hear something. And I thought that was a beautiful way of putting it. And all of a sudden there'll be something that will register. But not everyone has scriptures, not in our own land and not in other lands. Scriptures are a rare commodity in many places. And so all that they can hear then, for example, if we go to China, we hear that with the underground churches, people don't have their own scriptures. And so they rely upon what their pastor speaks. And the pastor may speak right in line with the Word of God. He may bring in also backgrounds of culture that may be different from the scriptures, what the Bible says. And so then what? See, the people really trust what they're hearing. And so they may easily be receiving incorrect teaching. And so when the Gideons and other organizations come and visit China and present scriptures to people in the churches, that now people in the congregation have the scripture, there's a new life, a surge of enthusiasm on the part of the congregation, because they can read and they can find great truth. I know, for example, in my growing up years, in the community where I did, there would be churches in which only the minister would have a scripture. And the people would take that. And you know, the gospel didn't come through. Rather, obedience to the orders of the church. And they had a word for it. I only learned in the last years. And that was ordnung, is what you called it, which is a way of a set of rules and regulations of the church. You follow them, and then you will be ready to go to heaven, maybe, right? You have to make sure that you touch every base. So it's a real uncertainty there. And so then try providing scriptures to the people. And if they come across reading the Gospel of John, for example, wow, what an eye-opener, right? Because till now, that might even have been a forbidden book to read in some congregations. And so, now though, by receiving scriptures from Gideon's or other organizations, they hand out the word, they read it, sometimes in secret, because it's verboten. So you have to do this, and they come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. And so therein lies the motivation for people like the Gideons to distribute scriptures, whether in whole or in part. By that I mean not taken apart, but say the Gospel of John as a presentation, so that people can read the gospel for themselves. And so that is where I'm so excited about reading how people's lives are changed in China. I refer to them, but I understand that in about 12 years, so by 2030, China is going to have more Christians than any other country. Like have about 200 million Christians, you know, just by looking at what the growth is like now. And that amazes me, because when Norma and I moved to Central Alberta, we volunteered in Red Deer at the CARE organization for refugees. And we were paired up with a young family from China. Now, they had only been in Canada 1 year. And when we were in that little office in Red Deer, then Penny was, she came in by herself. Her husband and her daughter weren't there. But we were there, and then the coordinator excused herself for a moment to step out and get a file to bring into the office. And in that short interval, Penny said to Norma and me, "I want a religion." She didn't know us. We'd never met before. She didn't know whether we had a faith or not. But you see, they came in from China. And having a religion other than communism wasn't allowed where she lived. She was expected to sign up with the Communist Party. And if she didn't, then her daughter would not have access to the good schools. They would not have access to activities. They would not have access to promotions at work because you're not one of the Communist Party. One day, her supervisor actually came with the application form filled in for her because she had declined and declined. And she declined again. She did not want to become that. And now here in Canada, she wanted, and you know, and we just have been thrilled to see her come to faith. And 2 years ago, to be baptized in Red Deer at the Crossroads Church, and we keep in touch. And it's a real joy. And you know, she just did not get or know about the underground churches, I imagine. We've asked her about them, and she didn't know about them. Just that they were in danger if they were found out. So that's one story, and that goes on to different countries, to India, Nicaragua, to Maasai land, to Kenya. And the scriptures are distributed, and the stories go on here into Canada also. and I read about Patricia in Ontario, who one morning found herself in a hotel bed, a grungy hotel, and when she woke up, she could not figure out how she could end up in a place like this. And she reached to the drawer, and you know the story, right? There's a drawer, and there's the Gideon Bible. And she picked it up, and she read in it. Didn't say what she was reading, but she read in it, and through it was drawn to Jesus Christ and accepted him as her Savior. So she was familiar with street life because that's where her passion took her again. And so she took some of those books and some of those magazines. Magazines, take a close look at them. You see, the Gideons have had to adapt to a changing culture. So always we had the Bibles for the hotels and nurses and service people and the students in school, right? Anybody here with grade 5 Testament still? Yeah, look at you. That's so cool. Yeah, that's right. And those were it. And now, for example, some hotels don't want us to place scripture because now they have to place a lot of different faiths, sacred books. So none, please, less trouble. Same in some school divisions or individual schools. We don't want you to present anymore because there's pushback, right? Other faiths would like to present scriptures then too. Okay, so what do Gideons do? Well, they still have the New Testament, and so some for school. We, for a while, would stand on the sidewalk off school property and hand out scriptures to kids who would reach out for it, right? We couldn't force it on them, didn't want to. We didn't before either. It was always voluntary. But, and so in different ways, we've tried to reach them. And you know, the beautiful thing, I believe, is that God is raising up boys and girls and young administrators to move into the organization itself and into the groundwork also. So that boys and girls, for example, now we will maybe give them a card like that, the size of a business card. But that's an app that they can download onto their smartphones. And that's the Bible. And in it, it also has some more than the information that we had in the New Testament, in which it said where to look for help when, dot, 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 like that. But now there's an app, and you can't see it well from there, but it comes up with four broad topics. One is called Square One, and that takes you to information about who God is, about purpose and meaning of life, about truth, the Bible, morality, Christianity. And then the second one says, tell me more about Jesus Christ, about sin, about faith. And so each one of them taps into another, and then there's Bible Answers. So another very easy and accessible information. And then Ready to Change, becoming a follower of Jesus. So then it answers questions that kids might have. Kids, anybody, right? You and I can download the app. Just go to the App Store and ask for New Life or Gideon's. And that one, I mean, there are many available, I know, online. So they are there. But also, up in the top right is a tap, and it takes me to the Gospel of John automatically. So when every time you boot this app, up comes, in the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Yeah. And so that was a response, and that came through some of the younger administrators and vision people, people who are really tapping into God and seeing how can we more effectively bring this message out to the people who right now are being prevented by others. And so the magazines that you will see on the table are also a response. They are less expensive to print than scriptures. They are beautifully laid out and illustrated, and they all have the complete Gospel of John. So all the texts that you would read in there would be the Gospel of John with an occasional testimony, or what sometimes is called now an impact statement. So, you know, and so it goes. And so Patricia armed herself with those magazines and Bibles, and from the hotel room where she accepted the Lord, she started to distribute these. In fact, she met a wonderful man, married him, and surprised him one day by saying, "Honey, could I have 1 week to myself? I'd like to check myself into a hotel room because I know there are many people who are marginalized on the street. No one talks to them. Nobody cares about them. And I just, you know, got so much love from God that it's just bursting to get out. And I got to go and see these people and look them in the eye. See who they are and speak to them. Bring along a bottle of water. Bring along some muffins or something like that to hand over." And one man said to her, "I've given up on this God stuff. He doesn't care about me." "Oh, yes, he does," Patricia says. "I'm here." See? And she said, "And you must be thirsty. And here's some water for you." And he was just shocked. First of all, for the time, and then for the gift. And then she said, "And you might like this magazine." And so she handed him a whole magazine. And then when they parted, he said, "Well, I'm sure you're going to think more about this God stuff." And she says, "Well, God's thinking about you, you know." And that was her heart. And so in many much immediate ways, it is possible to share the scriptures. And so there are many stories like this that come together. And I just love sharing these stories. I sometimes get that lump in the throat, you know, when I think of the changes that God makes in people's hearts because of having the scripture. Because the word is truth. And that's our focus. So I thank you this morning for the privilege of being here and sharing with you in conversation and in the Word. God bless you richly.